other person, but it's not that we don't want to listen. It's just that we're fearful of not knowing what we're going to say next, or how, if what if, or fearful that we're not enough to be of service.
Is that why people don't communicate or contribute as often as they would? Or is that what you're saying? Or is that a reason why people don't listen?
No, why they're not listening. Yeah. Like, they have their own tape recorder going in the back of their mind.
Right.
And that tape recorder is a byproduct of being afraid of not being enough in the service that you're offering, not having what you need, or not having the right thing to say in return. That happens in all realms of our lives.
Okay.
Like planning for the next thought. In my own case, I think I'm maybe a little ADD or something, and so I get impatient and I'm a little impulsive, so I might interrupt.
Yeah.
And I've been working on that one for like 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So wanting to contribute or share ideas like spontaneously, right, without a filter on that, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is all valid. But the one component of this I want you to be aware of and really focus on here is just the fact that people get caught up in their own internal dialogue, that their own conversation, they're analyzing, assessing what happened earlier, before, you know, planning for the future. They have their own life going on. And we walk around with a delusion that just because we're talking to someone, all that's going to stop, right? All that's going to discontinue, okay? But does it happen that way?
No, you can even see when you're talking half the time. People are looking on their phone even while you're talking to them. Yeah, and they're still like, they're not really paying attention to me, even though they say that they are.
Right. Their nonverbals just aren't there, right? And very often when you're speaking to someone, you're only getting about 60% of their actual attention, of their actual consciousness. And sometimes you can tell them the nonverbals, but sometimes you can't. Some people are great at straight-facing it. Well, they'll look at you, and they'll, right, and they'll maybe nod or whatever, but they're already gone. They're already off three sheets away just thinking about something else, right? And by the way, are you sometimes the one who does that also?
Of course.
Yeah, it's part of the human condition. This isn't judging or saying it's always those other people, right? It's just part of how we operate. I'm not walking around with the delusion that every word I'm saying during these sessions is being received, every single word, right? My goal is that you get the most important ideas and that it sticks and that you can interact with it. Mm-hmm. But I'm aware of that, mm-hmm. right? That's part of the human condition. So that's one side of the coin. But there's another side of the coin. And that falls into the realm of things you can control and how you communicate and how you occur and how effective you are at either getting people's attention or getting them to listen to you, or having it land in a way that's going to connect with them, right? And this is where the epidemic occurs. This is the virus that haunts so many people that can be fatal, right? And it is the epidemic of verbosity, of just talking too much.
So that's the seller problem versus the sellee problem.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we walk around with a perception, and I call it the misperception. Whether you're in a networking scenario, whether you're giving an elevator pitch, whether you're giving a presentation and you want to make your initial introduction, or if you're actually in a dialogue with someone where you want to, you know, enroll them into something, we very often as human beings focus, and especially as Americans in the American culture, as I want to just be very articulate. I want to make sure that what I say sounds very professional and I have great words to use and it all lands really well and so well orchestrated, right? And we want to believe that is going to be what sways the day, right? It's a story we make up in our minds about what people are, how people are going to perceive things. So let me feed that back with a question. Is that what other people are usually looking for when we communicate with them? Yes or no?
No.
It's not what I'm looking for.
Okay. When someone is assessing you and your message, what do you think the primary question they're asking themselves is?
Is this person for real?
Are they getting me? Is the point getting across? Is there effective communication?
Yeah, these are very relevant questions. But do you want to know the primary question people usually ask, when, especially in some kind of business scenario? It's not who are you, it's not what are you talking about, it's what does this mean to me?
Mm-hmm.
how is this affecting my life? You know, how will this impact me?
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Okay. While of course you want someone to be articulate and speak well when they communicate to you, I know that when I meet people in the world of business, or let's say someone is presenting something to me or pitching something to me, I'm not asking myself, do they have a full command of the English language?
Mm-hmm.
How well-versed are they if they picked up a thesaurus, right? Are they a good grammar kind of individual? Like, that's not what you're thinking. What you're thinking is, can I profit from this? Can this help me? Will this make me feel better? Can I benefit from this? You know, and in a very short period of time, right? What can I draw from this? Does this make sense? All right? So this is what I want us to start to work on and uncover as far as how this can support you in communicating your message more effectively. Is that pretty cool?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That's part of that as well, making sure people are with you. All right? Tying it down. Yes.
On that note, like, I have a friend who's the chief of staff for the guy who runs Microsoft or sales division of Microsoft in India. And apparently they're losing crazy amounts of money. They're going through a lot of layoffs. Like, it's in the paper. And she's
right.
like, yeah, last quarter they were like $2 million in the hole. And then the second quarter they're like $6 million in the hole. I'm like, what are you guys doing? She's like, we're going to have another meeting. Like, they keep scheduling meetings where they do a lot of talking and then nothing gets done. And then they just lay off. And I was like, wow, this is really bad.
How much can we overanalyze this and kick it to death?
Right. So
yeah.
It's like it's prevalent everywhere.
Yeah. And it's just painful. And more potential relationships or transactions or deals, right? Like finance is slips through the cracks because people don't pay attention to this, not aware of it. So I want to start to walk us through a process where we can be better at this. We can be more effective at this. And this is what I call, and I'm telling you right now, first of all, I got a C in high school art. Okay, that's because it was my last class and I cut out half the time. But it's not my forte. So this is not a martini glass. I'm telling you this right now. Okay, this is what I call the communication funnel. The communication funnel. All right.
No martinis.
No martinis. And what we're talking about when we talk about the communication funnel is literally a shift in paradigm in how you communicate, a shift in your way of being, in how you go about getting a message or an introduction or a pitch across to someone, right? Literally recreating that. And what this comprises of is, well, let me just ask you this. What, in your opinion, what do you think the essence of effective communication is? Verbal communication, that is. It's simple. It's being able to get your message across effectively in the fewest number of words. Using the fewest amount of words to get your idea across. That is powerful communication. And that alone, in and of itself, on a psychological, on a mental level, can require a shift in paradigm. Because we very often fall in love with our own words. And we just want to paint words and make it seem so articulate. And
I had an experience of this. Somebody asked me to introduce them to a very successful client of mine. And
okay.
I was happy to do it. They have something in common.
Right.
And I set it up. And then he sent an email, and he copied me on the email, and he never made any kind of request. Like, the whole thing is like, I've got a prototype,
hyperbole.
Blah, 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 blah. And then, and it was like, and then, it, and he was like, and I'd love to talk to you about it, but he never said why. And I was like, ugh.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's painful to watch or read sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Well, what this does is this has you take the many... many words, the yada yada yada, right, and funnel that, all right, and make it more concise into a truly powerful message. Now, this makes sense, correct? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The question becomes, well, how? Like, what does that look like? What does it actually take? How can I? What's a method I can keep in mind to put this into practice on a regular basis? And this is where I want you to start thinking like a samurai. And really start thinking about what would make that effective.
There are no color of magic markers here, so I'm going to call them on my own. Always be prepared. All right. And when you're speaking to someone, and let's say you want to grab their attention and really siphon your message, right? What elements of communication do you want to use with them?
Nonverbal.
Right, nonverbal is a huge part of communication, but let's talk about the actual verbal communication. Let's say we're talking about your wording and your messaging, right?
Clear and concise words.
Right, right, right. Now, what does that look like? Well, yeah. Okay. There's facts, information, details, right, which I think relates to what you were talking about in the email your friend sent, right? But there's also the world of benefits. Speaking of benefits.
How is this going to benefit them?
Yeah. What is the benefit? Now, this is where most traditional sales training stops. And I know for sure Eric and Josh, because you guys have been in corporate sales, I'm sure you've heard about features versus benefits, mm-hmm. right? You know, don't just speak in features, speak in benefits. And if you're going to say a feature, relate the benefit. And that's okay, right? So first make that distinction where you don't want to just talk about features. But what I would recommend, and one of the things my students have done, is I want you to stay primarily, if not exclusively, in the world of benefits. When you're talking about having your message translate powerfully. True, there are certain parts of any conversation where you just need to give details, right? You need to explain the hows and the whats and the whens. But most people stay in that space. I want you to look at staying in the space of benefits. But here's where it gets more samurai, all right? When you talk about benefits, there are really two main benefits. And this is where many people get cloudy or they get tripped up. There are two primary kinds of benefits. There are means-based benefits. Means-based benefits, which are a means to an end. And then there are ends-based benefits. Ends-based benefits, which are the actual end. Or, in other words, the ultimate result. What someone is really going to get from it. And this is where so many entrepreneurs, sales professionals, professional communicators, whatever your niche may be, this is where so many people get lost. They tend to focus on the means-based benefits. Okay? Because think about it. Which one of these benefits would be more meaningful or more powerful to someone? A means to an end or the actual end in the result itself?
The result. The end.
Okay? This is huge when you can really take this in as far as how you cultivate your message. And what you'll find is when you're operating from this paradigm, your message will naturally get more concise. It doesn't even have to be a conscious process because you're just thinking that way. You're just thinking in terms of ends, result-based benefits. So let me just check in. Does that make sense?
So I think of ends as like a deliverable. Like, what do I get out of it? I get a book. I get an ebook. I get an audiobook. You know, something like that. Is that what you mean by ends?
This is great. So think about that. So let's say you get a book, an ebook from something. Is that a means benefit or an ends benefit?
I think it's a good question.
It could be either. In your case, is it that by the end of it, the person will have one that's written, or they don't apply?
No, it almost doesn't matter. It's just a deliverable. Like, but I could say it's a means to get a fame, or a means to attract clients, and then the end result is attracting the client.
Okay.
To me, the outcome would be reading the book. What I get out of that. Like that to me is the end, is the result of the content of it. You know, and maybe that's one step further.
Oh, because I work as an editor, I'm thinking of the author as a customer. Yeah,
right.
As opposed to selling a
book.
That's a different kind of customer.
We try to do a lot of outcome selling, mm-hmm. you know, save cost, reduce risk, you know, whatever is going to our customers are going to care about, you know?
Right.
And it is always, again, just like ends-based, outcome-based selling is, you know, something we try to adopt.
Yeah.
And again, that plays back to the, so what? How does this affect me as the end consumer of said, you know,
good service or product? So even the reading experience could have a different outcome. It could be knowledge. It could be entertainment. It could be...
Yeah.
Healing, whatever. Yeah.
It's interesting, right? Mm-hmm. What you think is what you may have thought in the past was the most meaningful benefit to someone may not really be. Mm-hmm. It could just be a means to another end, where that benefit, the what's beyond that, could be what would truly get this person's attention, and there could be a bit of a rabbit hole there, where how far does that go? You know, what's the ultimate benefit? Okay? But I want you to really consider this. So for example, really good service. Right? The two main values you normally hear people talk about in some kind of entrepreneurial or business endeavor is quality and service. Right? Quality and service. And people will talk about the quality of our product, quality of our platform, you know, our services. Our service is so good, like the example I gave last night, 3,000 years from now, when society's looking at our society and they read hieroglyphics, they're going to read about our service. That's how good our service is. Okay? But let me ask you a question. Let's talk about service, for example. Is service a means or an ends-based benefit?
Either.
It could be, right?
It's a means.
I mean, it could.
Like when you think about providing a service to someone, so let's say you're delivering something, right? All right, so I'm delivering this thing.
Okay, sweet.
Is this the ultimate? Is this a means or an end?
Well, I think when I hear service like massage, and I don't think of like.
Okay.
What do you mean by service?
Okay, good. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about a massage.
Are you talking about?
Well, the end
Let's talk about that.
The end there
is relaxation or pain relief.
Right, that massage is a means.
Right, but if I give you a massage and I hurt you and yell at you the whole time, you'll be like, this service sucks.
It sucks, right.
So
the means sucks.
The means sucks,
right.
The end result
can blow.
It's comfort.
Right. But if you walk out of there feeling awesome, you're like, man, I hate that guy, but I'm going back because I feel great now.
Actually, that's really funny. I go to the massage therapist because I like going back. She has a puppy that I like to
play.
That's part of my whole thing. I go see the dog.
Right,
and
the props.
Yeah.
But think about that. This is a really good example of that, right? So a great massage, mm-hmm. right? Someone doing a really great massage. Okay, so they're massaging. Is this the end?
No.
It's the means.
It's the means. So it's the service that's being provided, but it's the means-based benefit.
So, like, I'm in the service-based industry, so but the end would be, like, pain relief. That's what you would offer,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then you would focus on that when you're communicating about the service-based.
Let me ask you, does that make sense to you? Do you see the distinction there?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I do focus on the benefit, but...
Well, this is really good, because this is what I want to offer. Most people, left to their own devices or through their prior conditioning, wherever it may come from, tend to stay in the space of means-based benefits.
So they're talking like, I do Swedish, I do this. They're talking about what they're doing rather than saying what they're going to get.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a really great experience. We have the scented oils. You know, and not to say you can't give any of that painting, but if someone has 20 masseurs and masseuses to choose from, and let's say you're in a conversation with them where you want to get across to them and enroll them in the idea that you're the masseuse they want to consider, are those features going to necessarily be what sways them to work with you? Probably not, right? And all facets of service. You know, we give a great massage. It's very hard, like you said, the Swedish or whatever the case may be. It's really strong. We use oil. We don't use cream. Great. Those are the means, but the ends-based value, the ends-based benefit, is you will leave feeling like you are floating.
You'll have more energy, you'll do this, you'll feel that.
Your muscles will recover, so you can run a marathon better.
Right. You'll get more work done, you'll be
right.
more productive, right. everything.
Right.
You'll be better.
Yes.
For the experience.
Yes. And this may seem simple when we're talking about this now and with the context I've given it, but what I want to offer you is most of us aren't aware of this when we're interacting with potential clients or people we want to engage in. Right? We will talk about the means-based benefit or value versus the end. All right? Once again, quality. The other main value. Is that a means-based benefit or an ends-based benefit? Thank you. You know,
quality is means.
Right? Like the example I gave yesterday was, let's say I have this really nice horse saddle, right, to place on a horse. Oh. It is the most amazing quality horse saddle. It's got the finest quality leather. The metal is shinier. It's brass. You know, it's made out of the finest stitching. You know, well. Thank you. Right? Really? That's what it is. Well, so those things about the quality are the means, but the ends is you're not going to get an ass blister. Never thought I'd say that when I woke up today. But or you'll be more comfortable, or you'll have less risk of falling off the horse, or you'll be able to control the horse better when you're riding. Like those are the ends-based values. Right? You never know what's going to come up in any of these conversations, right?
So the quality of the means.
Yeah. And years ago, I did that. That happened to me to Duke Ranch, so I can identify with that, okay? I got the blister.
Well, initially, I thought you said horse salad. I was like, that's gross.
I'm glad we clarified that. All right? So I want you to consider how this can apply. And what I want you to be open to is that when you can really begin to integrate this, it's literally a paradigm shift in how you occur to people and what they hear. Because it's not blah, 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 like, you know, the teacher and Charlie Brown, right? And Josh, I just want to mention that in the presentation last night, after I gave that presentation and everybody was beaming and they were giving me such great feedback on it, and then people went around the table and they introduced themselves, most of the people fell into that same exact pitfall where they were just talking about, like, the words just kind of floated. It didn't really catch your attention because they were just talking about details and, you know, means. It just were not a lot of ends mentioned in those elevator pitches.
Would have been a good thing to say, try to focus on the ends during the pitch.
You know?
Try that next time.
Okay. Yeah. But I just say that because this could make sense in theory, but it's the implementation, the integration of this. Mm. Right? What that could really look like. And this can apply in all facets of your communication. It could be when you're introducing yourself to a potential client or someone you want to work with. It could be if you're in a networking environment and you meet someone. And, you know, America has a unique culture with networking. Like, we do a lot of quick speed networking, right? But it matters. It makes a difference. And how you present yourself in the first 30 seconds of that conversation when someone says, well, what do you do? Right? And it could be when you're just presenting your product or service and you want to get someone on board with moving ahead and working with you. So that's one component that comes out of the bottom of the communication funnel. The other part of that, and this can be a really effective way to get your identity across, is you say, and actually what I want to do is I have basic handouts for this, Josh, which really just illustrates what I'm writing on the board. If you pass those down. Want to get one? Sorry. Thank you.
So you're saying the means and the ends are in the tiny little part of the funnel?
Maybe these being placed next to each other can confuse you. The means would really be like up here.
Okay.
And I'm going to illustrate what that would look like. Okay, and that's an important part of this, which is when I talk about the distinction between means and ends values, they don't need to be mutually exclusive. Meaning it's not that you can or shouldn't ever mention means-based benefits. Sometimes that can be part of the dialogue that will bring you to an ends-based benefit. You know, this is the highest quality massage you're going to see out there in the world. You know, it's customized, and I'm intuitive. My fingers know what your body is feeling, right? Because as a result of that, you will walk out feeling like a new human being. You'll feel lighter. You will feel better. So you did mention the means benefit, but you did it to end with the ends benefit. Most people simply stay in the space of the means. Okay? But this is not feature benefit, right? Because feature can be, you can get caught up in details. You can be talking about what you think is a benefit, and it is a benefit, it's just not the ultimate benefit, or it's going to really grab someone's attention. Okay? So to simplify that, just think of what the ends with the most results-based, ends-driven benefit would be with the person that you're talking with. Does that make sense? Okay. So it's one thing to understand something intellectually. It's another to actually experience it. So what I want you to do is I want us to do a brief exercise where I want you to take some component of your communication, of your business communication, and what that would sound like, and I want you to write that down. So let's say you're being introduced to someone and you want to present to them and get their, create a positive impression with them, you know, within the first 30 or 60 seconds of that conversation. Let's say you're in some kind of public networking environment. Let's say you're presenting your product or service to someone and you want to present that. I want you to either capture that or think about what that would sound like. And if this makes it simpler to make the focus easier, let's have it simply be the introduction. You know, let's pick on that one in particular to make this a simpler exercise. You know, you're connecting with someone for the very first time. You want to distinguish yourself. You want to speak in a way that will get their attention, or that's something that will stick out and something that they will actually pay attention to when you're talking to them. I want you to think about what that would sound like. And if you don't already have it clearly embedded in your mind, I'd like you to please write that down. Awesome. One step ahead. All right, so please take a few moments and write that down. And if you have to think about what that would sound like, that even more important to do this exercise. Mm-hmm. All right?
It's funny, people come to... I don't want to interrupt people.
The words just come to you?
Well, a lot of referrals. So they already kind of know, like, you know, it's like I'm halfway in the conversation with them.
All the more reason to be your best with that. So if it's not that, if you want to choose another aspect of your communication, feel free.
Mm-hmm.
But very often it's the intro that most people struggle with. But something that explains what you do, that explains the benefits of working with you, and what you bring to the table, and what might distinguish you from other providers. Give you one more minute on that. And I just want you to consider, this is a big part of what makes up your business. what we're talking about right now.
I'm trying new language. I have language on my website that I've had there for like 15 years, you know.
Okay. So let's go with what we have. So I want to give you an example from my business to illustrate this. All right. What I could do if I'm introduced to someone or connecting or presenting in front of a room, whatever that may look like, is I could say, well, what we do is we provide consulting services where we come in and we work with companies and we help them to improve their communication skills, their time management. We're really big on time management. And we help people generate more referrals and we help them to craft presentations so they can speak to their customers and blah, 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 blah. Are you already noticing yourself drifting away when I say that? Right? Here's what I say when I'm introduced to someone or presented to a room. My name is Mitch Harris, the Samurai of Sales. I help sales professionals, entrepreneurs, and entire organizations to experience major breakthroughs in their sales performance and their bottom line results. That's it.
Clear and concise.
Thank you. And all in the area of the ends, right? You get better at generating referral business so you can experience major breakthroughs in your sales performance and bottom line results. Right, I'll teach you better time management or how to handle objections more effectively so you can experience major breakthroughs in your sales performance and your bottom line results. Right, I stay in that place of the ends. So, who would like to step into this and volunteer to share with us what your the part of your communication, your business communication you identified? And we can go through that and see what works and what could be improved.
So I think what helps that is that you have a very clear audience, too, or a niche, right?
Right.
You're obviously speaking to corporations and obviously speaking to public.
Not necessarily corporations. I speak to my fair share of entrepreneurs. Like even here, we have three independent entrepreneurs in the room.
Yeah. Well, there's material real-world benefits with your career, and
right.
with ours, it's more internal-based, which is challenging to quantify until you hear your clients say, you help me feel more courageous, you help me stop hating myself, you help me want to get better.
Right.
So for me, like mine sounds, hers sounds probably, like mine is less quantifiable in the material world. So therefore, we live in such a material world, we have so much like importance on the material world in our society in the West,
right.
that sometimes it can feel like it's more challenging or that it's less than when we talk in these ways. For me, the only way that I feel like I'm credible, that I can give credence to this, is that people actually do message me and say, thank you so much. Your work is really helping me.
Right.
I mean, I received like 5 messages that I didn't even, like, just from yesterday from the
That's great.
Stupid stuff that I'm posting to get people to laugh, but also to shift out of their PTSD, because you can't get rid of PTSD, but you can learn to deal with it. So it's
right.
not life-limiting.
Yeah. Yeah. I got that. And are you open to the possibility that there could be ways to communicate your message in a way that is more quantifiable?
Oh, yeah. I wrote 3 examples.
Great. So let's step into some of that. Let's look at that.
So shift away from life-limiting behaviors that aggravate your original traumas and your PTSD. Shift away from limiting behaviors that aggravate your original trauma and your PTSD. Learn how to make healthy life choices. And every individual is different and has different value systems and whatnot. So it's going to look different. But build your human strength.
Right.
Relief from self-judgment, guidance to lead you from life-limiting depression and anxiety. So, because it's like, I'm not an MD. I'm not telling people you're going to get rid of your depression and your anxiety. I'm just saying that it's manageable. And I know that because I've written 2 books on it. I'm writing my 3rd. I've researched it for several years now. And I've worked on it for years, for a decade.
Okay. So I want to keep you on point.
Experience.
I
mean, like what helps you stand out from others.
Right, right. So that's your experience.
Yeah.
And that's why you know what you do can help.
And
but let's. Sure. No, I got that. So let's stay in the realm of the communication now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you threw a lot out there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you go through that again a bit more slowly?
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to
just repeat what you said.
The next part. So moving towards self-acceptance, more happiness, more inner freedom,
more joy. And then I wrote, shift away from the life-limiting behaviors that are aggravating the original trauma or the PTSD that has evolved from the trauma. Learn how to make healthy life choices that support your resilience, whatever your goals are in your life. So it's supporting that inner resilience that is challenging to quantify, and I'm not going to bake a potato for you and help you raise your vitamin D levels or whatever. You know, so that's more. But build on your human strengths.
Okay. So let me step in.
Yeah.
So I heard both there.
Both.
I heard some means.
Oh, good.
There's
okay.
benefits.
Okay.
But I also, and let me put this out to the room, I heard plenty of ends-based benefits there also.
I got your elevator pitch.
Yeah.
No. Here's what you just said, what I heard. I'm going to help you help yourself mm-hmm. live a happier, more positive, more enjoyable life.
Self-accepting, self-loving.
And then there's the outcome. And then a lot of that other stuff was good. You know, the why before the, you know, that.
We're self-accepting, self-loving. Because I remember one conversation I had with Stephanie about a year ago. She goes, I think your message is just self-love. And I was like, but actually I think it is.
And depression's a tough thing to, you know, work with and wrestle with. So
it makes you kind of hate yourself. You don't want to have these inclinations. And yet you can learn to work with them and say, I'm depressed right now. What can I do about it?
Yeah.
It actually works. And, you know, yoga is one of those things.
So something I want you to consider is, when you said it's difficult to quantify
the internal manifestations,
right?
Other than words, joy, happiness, peace, inner freedom, self-acceptance,
right. So
sounds so cliche.
See, this is what I'm getting at. This is what I'm noticing.
Uh-huh.
Right, and maybe your coach.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh yeah, I'm here.
Great. You had said, well, it's not difficult to quantify because it's not in the realm of material.
Right.
Okay. If something is not material, does that mean it's
no,
not as easy to quantify?
No, it's just our Western mindset. Like, I'm going to help you make 5K this month. Like, you can say that to people.
But I think you do have a lot of ends there. You can say it's like, I teach and educate from experience and knowledge.
Well, those are the means.
Increase serotonin is actually a physicality that I can say. Because I do know methods to increase serotonin. So that's a physicality.
But that's
the beginning.
But that's
the
means.
At the end, like, what's going to happen after they work with you, that's what you want to focus on. And it's like, I teach people to overcome PTSD, you know, and then live a happier life.
Well, how to manage. Because some people always have traces of PTSD. Right. Yeah.
But that won't prevent them from having a more positive, enjoyable life, and that's
right.
Really
no, you can
the outcome
it.
You're
do
steering
self
them towards.
And self-love.
Is
yes,
that,
thank you.
Yeah. So, what I want to offer you, first off, is from your paradigm, mm-hmm. your perspective, mm-hmm. right? Yes, there are circles in the world, in our culture, business, whatever you want to refer to, where people only hear money and only hear material things.
Mm-hmm.
But I truly believe that the human experience and the emotions can be very quantifiable and very tangible when laid out. And as the feedback you're getting here suggests, a lot of that is
and
laid out quantifiably.
And the messages that I've been getting, the thank you messages. So, and it's so respectful. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Yeah.
Thank
so
you
when
for
you're
caring.
Right. So when you're communicating with people and engaging with people, you can keep in mind the ends-based benefits.
Laugh more is definitely the case. Laugh more. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes. I'm just. Like, you're inspiring more in space.
Excellent.
And means. Means and ends. I'm laughing.
Right. So once again, it doesn't need to be mutually exclusive. We're not making the means the bad
categories.
Guy and that they can't be mentioned.
No, not at all.
Okay. It's not that they can't be mentioned, but it's just that they are literally the means to getting across to that ends-based value.
Yeah.
So what I want to do quickly is, when I say quickly, not to rush through it, but go through that pitch one more time.
Okay.
But just go through it slowly. And to keep it simple, what I want to offer is, as you're going through it, as I hear a benefit, I'm going to say means or end.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Okay, but do it slowly. So
increase serotonin.
Means.
Decrease depression.
Decrease depression ends.
Mm-hmm. Laugh more.
Hmm.
Could be both.
That could be both. Well, what do we think, team? Laugh
both.
More.
But yeah, it's true. Like, if you're going to laugh, there's an experience that leads you to that.
Unless you're Norman Cousins, in which case laughing is to cure illness.
Because well, yeah, it kind of does. Laughing puts you in a happy place. Mm-hmm. So laughing is the means, and the end would be
happiness.
Laughing has its own value.
Yeah, laughing. Sometimes people just want to laugh and they haven't had a reason to for a while.
Right. Okay. So it could be.
And then, okay, get smarter about your PTSD.
Means.
Okay.
You got more?
I'm thinking on the spot.
Well, do we
enrich your relationships?
I would say that's an ends.
Yeah. Because that's just not the spot. But it's true. Like, when I get massage, I'm nicer.
Yeah. And just go through the rest of what you went through before. Just keep reading what you were reading that you started on.
Shift away from life-limiting behaviors.
Means.
Oh.
See, this could be very insightful.
Right.
Okay, so I get that
more
you're taking
self-acceptance.
An
on.
Probably an ends. Probably
self-acceptance.
An ends.
More self-love.
Ends.
And
also keep this in mind. The feedback that you said that some of your clients give you, those were very clear ends-based values. I forget how you put it, but they were very
ends-based. Relief from non-stop self-judgment.
Relief, that's an ends. Relief from is an ends.
Yeah.
It's like the fortune cookie game. You can say it, and then at the end you say, so that you can.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I want you to be aware of, when you're cultivating your message, be aware of the ends. Reverse engineer your communication. Because that is what I'm telling you, will take your communication to a whole other level. And people will hear you differently when you're not just being articulate and having good words to say and thinking about the details you can share, but you talk about what's going to speak to them in that moment.
Gain community, that's an end.
I would call that a means.
Right.
And once again, some could be one versus the other, but it's a good thing to be aware of. So a great exercise for you with that would be, okay, gain community.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the ultimate message I want someone to get from that, or is there something beyond that?
Oh.
You know, to feel a sense of acceptance once again. Could that be the ultimate end value? And that's why
experience belonging.
That's why I talk about
that.
Just one sec. That's great, but that's why I talk about this as a funnel. Because it allows you to get to that end's value. And you can do this with so many things. Yes?
So I'm realizing, like, everything is a means in my communication. Right? So it's like, my sentence is like, I coach and teach people how to rebalance their brain to get unstuck or have a breakthrough around any goal they're working on. It's all a means.
Mm-hmm.
Although it feels like an ends to me.
Right.
So the outcome of that is that so they feel empowered with whatever comes their way. You know what I mean?
That is
like,
awesome.
Empowerment's great.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd buy that.
Yeah.
And how about inspired? And one of the things you'll often notice about ends-based benefits or values, not always, but very often they will reflect emotions and how we're feeling. I remember I was listening to a program that Tony Robbins created, and he was talking about, well, if you ask someone why they're doing something, and you say, well, why are you doing that? And they give a reason. And you say, yeah, well, why do you want that? And they give a reason. And you say, yeah, well, why do you want that?
Mm-hmm.
And you get to someone's ultimate drive for why they want something, it usually comes down to some feeling or an emotion they desire.
Right.
And especially in the world of occupational therapy and brain, the brain gym, especially in the world of trauma, you know, education, it very often leads to, you know, an emotional end.
Go for it. So then I coach people to be empowered, inspired, and resilient. That's enough of a pitch to keep them there.
Well, how does that land for you?
It sounds too simple, but that could just be me trying to complicate it.
Okay. Now, keep in mind what we said before. They don't need to be mutually exclusive.
Right.
So I'm not saying communicate exclusively in the world of ends.
Right.
Because sometimes it doesn't have, it's not illustrated.
Right.
Well,
it's
enough.
Like, okay, great.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what I want to say, just that.
Right.
So it does do those things.
Right. So you can end with that. But then that also takes... See, this is great, because we're kind of like... You made the Michelangelo metaphor before. We're kind of sculpting the masterpiece now. Once you're aware of that, you want to focus on the ends, then you can focus on creating truly empowered, inspired ways to communicate those ends values. Right? So, for example, I could say... You know, in my case, when I give a quick presentation, my ends value is not emotion-based. But very often I will say that. I will also say, they do this so you can live a more rewarding and fulfilling life. More prosperous, more rewarding, more fulfilling life. But it depends on the audience I'm speaking to, right? But even with the benefit that I share, which is to experience major breakthroughs in your sales performance and bottom-line results, I could say, so you can make more money and increase your production. And, you know, someone will go, yeah, okay. To experience major breakthroughs in your sales performance and your bottom-line results, it's like, oh, okay, I get the power of that.
I'm going to steal your language.
Please do.
Yeah, that and frankly, not all sales is for money. I mean, to a charitable organization mm-hmm. where, you know, I'm not going to line my pockets, but I'm going to make a bigger impact. And if I can make more of an impact, you know,
right.
Again, so... You know, I like your articulation because it is broader. It's more impactful. It's more, you know.
Yes.
You're not cheapening it with, hey, make a couple more bucks.
Right.
You know?
Right. Exactly. Well, I'm glad you get that because guess who the next person I was going to point to?
Yes, I'm on deck, huh?
Yep. Yes, you are.
So, all right, just to set the table here, I sell pretty complex. Storage and infrastructure stuff, the IT folks. So my audience is going to be a CIO, a CTO, an EVP of infrastructure, you know, an application, technical people. There's always a feature and a checkbox, you know, you've got to go down a list. And most of the selling that we do is very complex, where we're selling to like the lower level people, you know, and more of the tactical and technical stuff. And the higher level people on more of the financial stuff, you know, the return on investment and reducing risk. And I always start the conversations with the means and say, you know, we've got a differentiated platform. You know, we're a storage platform, but ours is totally different. And we're going to reduce risk, reduce cost, and enable the IT department to transform with the end goal of, you know, getting your life back. You know, as well as, you know, potentially getting you a raise or a promotion or maybe saving your butt.
What does it mean getting your life back?
IT folks never have enough time or resources to handle all this stuff. I'm selling to large corporations generally, and these IT people, there's departments of like 30 people, and they've got 4,000 people working there with desktop machines, requests for networking and storage, and you know, applications, and they get pulled in a million directions. And I tell people, you know, we can reduce the time, reduce the complexity, so that you get your life back, or you can focus on other things, other priorities. And that's part of the pitch, is that very outcome there.
Yeah.
And again, we always set the table with, we're going to reduce cost and reduce risk. Because there's always concerns about security and IT, and you probably hear about the malware stuff and all the stuff in the news about identity theft. You know, all these big companies are always worried about that stuff happening. And I always throw out there, it's different. Because the technology is extremely unique in the marketplace. It's very, very differentiated. And quite frankly, every one of our competitors is going to come in and say, we're going to reduce costs, show me an IT company and say, hey, we're going to increase your cost
right. And
increase brilliant.
Right.
You know, so there's a little bit of boilerplate. And then my ask is almost, you know, can we show you what that, you know, we'd like to show you what winning looks like and, you know, go deeper, do a deeper dive into technology. And then you ask for that real meeting or that second meeting there.
Yeah.
And then that's a pretty standard pitch. I sometimes forget to do it that way, but that's...
Right.
Kind of the first thing, like, hey, we want to teach you more. You know, can you give us an hour and a half, and then you get into a WebEx, you go into all the features, all the details for an hour, and then you have to pull it back into the value and say, hey, remember now this is your life,
right.
See how, and
right.
That kind of thing. So that's kind of how it works.
Yeah. That's excellent. That really is great.
We do a lot of role play at my job. There's a lot of structured sales training, and we've really transformed our own sales organization to outcome-based selling, not feature-based selling, because We're in a world where the feature list never ends.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's a rabbit hole that has no end, and the competition, they check every box, and we check every box, and most big companies will put out a request for proposal, so they just throw it to the wolves and go, hey, show us your best stuff. And everybody comes with marketing material, and we do this, and we cure cancer, we slice bread, and,
right.
you know, and then they got to cut through all that. I mean, the IT job, their job is cutting through all the BS and marketing, going, is this really going to, you know, help me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it really going to get me my life back?
Yeah.
Or really help me focus on other things or other priorities, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it gets a little complex, but hey, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know.
That's excellent.
So they drill us. They make us practice elevator pitches and think about it. Think about what you're doing. You know,
sure.
And it's so hard to stay outcome focused.
Yeah.
Because you want to talk about all the bells and whistles mm-hmm. and you know that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. And you can see an example of someone who's been trained at a very high level, in, you know, in a corporate environment.
And beat it into you.
Yeah, right. Sometimes that's how it has to be.
Yeah. You know? Well, and it's muscle memory. It's repetition.
Yeah.
Because when you say the pitch 40 times, it's easy to go, hey, well, this is what it looks like.
Right.
This is what I do. But the first time you do it, it might as well be Greek.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you're like, oh, I'm not even sure what I'm selling. What does it
yeah.
do?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
What I'm also getting from what you're saying is that you know to speak differently to different people.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is part of that listening strategy, you know, because the reality of a person who's really the hands-on implementer is quite different than somebody who has responsibility for the financial health of the company.
Right.
It's totally
like,
different.
The person with the hands on the keyboard wants to be able to go home at 5 o'clock and know that this thing isn't going to blow up.
Right.
That's his risk model.
Yeah.
The CIO's risk model is that this thing that we sell them is secure, so hackers aren't going to come in and steal the data.
Right.
So it's completely different. Both, you know, the buzzword is risk because that hits connects with everybody, but how it affects them is a different pitch. And I do get more, you know, with the more hands-on keyboard person, the operator, they really want to get into a features conversation. They don't necessarily want a value or an outcome. So you have to bring it back to them and say, look, your outcome is you get your life back. You can go home at 5 o'clock. Or you don't have to worry about the storage thing. You can go work on the application stuff and you know you can get wrapped on that axle because this one's going to work and do what it's supposed to do. You know, and again, the CIO doesn't care. To him, it's all plumbing.
And this is really just the first conversation, right?
Well, it's so an elevator pitch, right?
I mean, yeah, so it's not usually a closing right then and there.
No, we have hour-long 30-slide presentations because you have to get into the details eventually with them. But the executive presentations are more like 4 slides.
Mm-hmm.
There's a total cost of ownership. There's an impact to business,
right.
a risk, and that's a lot simpler. And that's almost purely a financial conversation
mm-hmm.
because the folks at the lower level have already vetted the technology and say, yep, thumbs up. We endorse it. Now, you know, haggle over the price and how it's going to mm-hmm. impact and that kind of
right.
thing.
So question, and also Stephanie, while that may be the intro, you know, the initial pitch, that does come back, as you said, later on in the conversation too. Do you need another chair?
No, I'm good. It's just the way I'm behaving.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, a good pitch can help come to close.
Yeah.
You know, as
the thing I want you to take a look at, because the way you laid this out was really spot on.
Mm-hmm.
And I give credit where I don't always have to improve something for the sake of improving it spot on. But here's the thing I want you to look at, which could possibly take this to the next level. It's in the articulation of the end benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Have you considered, or what would be either other really well-targeted end benefits or other ways to articulate those end benefits in a way that could land more powerfully? Have you looked at that? Do you see this as being what's whittled down to the final?
Oh, no. I'm sure. Listen, if I thought I had all the answers, I wouldn't be sitting in this chair now.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean,
I'm
here to sharpen my samurai sword, if I brought a sword with me.
Sure.
You know?
Do you talk about, like, what kinds of things you would be avoiding to get your life back? Because that may be too general, but like, you won't be putting out fires or you won't be fixing things.
It gets into more of a features and means, but again, I leave it for the initial thing as we do it totally differently.
Yeah.
Would you like to learn more? Again, I'm closing for a second meeting,
right.
which is the big presentation where we get into how we do a data migration differently and how we do this differently and how it takes less time and how all these things are automated that have to be done manually. Mm-hmm. But that's a longer thing. And then when I go through all that, I bring it back to, so, you know, think about what I just told you. Think about in your day-to-day life, when this thing happens, it takes 4 hours.
Right.
With us, it takes a half an hour. And this thing happens 20 times over the course of a year. Think about what that gets you back. Right. And then, you know, so it's more that kind of conversation where you do it, then you just kind of bring it back. But that's...
Okay. So question.
Yeah.
So let's swim this fish a bit. So getting your life back. Mm-hmm. Great. You can get that, ultimately get that promotion. Mm-hmm. Great. What are some other ends-based benefits, or what could they be?
Yeah, but is promotion an ends, or is that a means?
Well, one thing I say, and this is usually important to the regular rank-and-file IT folks, and I tell my story, which is it made me more relevant within my organization, and it got me a promotion because, again, and that's part of winning with the technology and why I'm such a shameless evangelist for the product. But it made me more relevant. You know, IT folks are always worried about getting outsourced or automated, or, you know, everything's going to go to the cloud, I won't have a job. So they're always worried about being relevant, you know, within their organization. And that's part of just a culture of big company job preservation. You know, if you have a good job, you don't want to lose it or get outsourced or that kind of thing.
Right.
So I use relevant if I'm talking to the lower folks. If I'm talking to an executive type person, usually they're not afraid of their job, or they feel if they get fired, they'll just go be an executive somewhere else or that kind of thing. So it's not as much as the fear or risk there. It's the overall technology, the overall brand of Dell. Like, hey, you're much safer with Dell than a startup or some unknown player.
Right.
And then the risk means a very different thing to them. So for them...
So let's stay in this place, though.
Yep.
Because, Eric, it's very clear that you're extremely experienced and talented, and you know you're going in this space. But I want to drill below
that.
Yep. So what would either be some other ends-based benefits you could share that could be even more powerful with different people you're speaking with, or, and this is where it gets a little potentially tricky but can be so powerful, when you can dialogue with someone about the ends-based benefit in a way that really drives it home, right? And this is where really sharpening that sword can come into play. So for example, and granted, you have to be aware of this, conscious of this when doing it, because I think going too deeply could come across as I'm really looking to sell you on this. But for example, if you said to someone, well, it could ultimately, you know, you'd be getting your life back. I'm curious, what would you do with an extra hour every week? Or what would you do with an extra 2 hours every week, right? I'm just curious. If you were to get promoted, what would that look like? What would you want to get promoted? What position would you desire? Or where would you want to be placed? Or kind of like natural on-the-sly conversation that embeds the ends-based benefits. Right? You know, when I say, and I said this would make you look be more relevant in the company, let me not assume. What does more relevant mean to you?
Yeah.
What would be more relevant in the company mean? You know, like dialoguing about the ends-based benefits. So how does that land?
Yeah, no, it's good. That's good.
So let's do a quick role play on that. What would that, just because this is the dojo, right? This is where you can practice what you're doing. So let's say you're talking to a decision maker and you've laid out some of these ends-based benefits, or you want to talk about them to someone. What would you want that to sound like if I was person you're talking to?
Exactly what you just said, you know. What would you do with, you know, 15 more hours a week? Like, what would you do to help your business? What would you do if you had that extra time? What would you learn? What would you do?
I'd spend more time with the family, I can tell you that.
Yep.
And I'd spend more time in the gym. I never seem to get to the gym as often as I want to,
me
you
too.
Know. You know? And I, you know, I actually like to paint, so I would be able to spend some time on the canvas.
Mm-hmm. I mean, with your current stuff, have you had situations where nights, weekends, you had interruptions? Yeah,
that's great. You're painting the picture and getting them get me to recall. Yeah, I have.
Yeah. Well, we can fix that, and we can help fix it. You know, I had a lot of success, you know, personally with the product, and you know, my experience when I sat in your shoes. And you know, I found it really made me relevant, you know, to my boss, a very valued member, part of his team. I mean, what does that look like to you? I mean, what you know, how would you see that with the technology or where you sit?
Well, I get the feeling that he/she doesn't always listen to me when I'm speaking. I don't feel like my message lands as well as it should. I don't feel like I get taken seriously, quite frankly.
So would getting some sort of an internal win be helpful to you? Because that's something we could, you know, do a lot of the heavy lifting and help you with the internal proposal and some of the things that, you know, she might be looking for from a cost and technology perspective. You know, we can probably build 90% of that for you and give it to you and then, you know, coach you a little and you could roll that up and, you know, it could be your win.
I just got to say, we just got to give a quick hand for this.
We did a lot of this kind of stuff. Because you got to sell up and then sell down.
Right.
Because the executive's like...
Yeah.
Right. I'm gonna write the pitch for you, and right. Then you can say it's your idea. That's like, yeah. That's great.
That's great.
No, and you know, like I said, you can't with a complex sale. You can't sell or win on too many fronts. And usually, all it takes is one detractor or one person to pop that balloon within an organization, the landmine.
Yeah.
You know. So you know, like I said, but if it was easy, you know, it wouldn't be as high stakes as it is. You know?
Right. Right. An example that comes to mind of this kind of thing is, it's technically in a different topic, but it's when you're defending your fee, right? Mario, this may really speak to you.
Yeah.
When you're talking about what you're worth, and I'm actually in a conversation right now with someone who wants to retain me as a coach, and they approached me. I didn't approach them. And they approached me, and then they told me about another coach they spoke to who is charging a lesser fee, right? Or, you know... something along those lines, and the epitome of commoditizing your service. And you know, one of the standard objections to, or excuse me, rebuttals to the concern of what's your fee, is asking the question, well, would you agree that generally in life you get what you pay for? And there's logic to it, and it makes sense, and it can be a decent rebuttal. But what I'll do instead is I'll say, I'm curious, have you ever had experiences where you look to save a buck or shave a dollar to get a better price and it blew up in your face? Mm. Yeah, that's happened a lot. Yeah. Mm. Well, just out of curiosity, what was an example of that? I hired a mechanic 2 years ago. Boom. Now you have them closing themselves or selling themselves on the point you want to make, on that ends-based value, just through the use of effective questions. Dialoguing about it instead of just throwing out a can, like a standard rebuttal. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So this is power. This is really powerful. So this is something that I really want you to begin to embed, practice. Is anything not clear? Any questions about this? It covers a lot. It covers a lot. But here's what I want you to do. Here's your assignment. All right, here's your assignment for the week. I want you to identify some part of your communication. It could be what you laid out here. It could be what we already spoke about. I want you to write down how you would normally word that or how you've worded it in the past. And being aware of the communication funnel and the ends means siphon, right, what that would sound like, how that would be different or better coming from an ends benefits point of view.
A question we've asked a potential.
No, it doesn't need to be a question. It doesn't need to be a question. I was just using those questions as examples when speaking about your ends based. Sure. It's to just take, and it could be what you have right there, your intro, presentation, elevator pitch, some component of your professional communication, and how you've normally said it in the past. You know, and identify the means and the ends-based benefits and look to see how you can transform that, recreate that coming from an ends perspective. Much like we did with you.
Mm-hmm.
Much like
yeah,
we created.
Yeah, we just did that. So.
Yeah.
My brain's fried. I'm like, I can't deconstruct everything we just created and then make it into something new again. I'm attached to all this progress.
Right. Sometimes we create something, we think it's so perfect.
No, I know.
Right. We
but
get
I
attached
have
to continue. It.
Okay, so maybe I'll just go with the things I've written down in the last few minutes.
Yeah. Just rock on with that.
Okay.
And create that. And if you'd be open to it, putting it into the Dropbox folder that I'll create.
Okay.
So I'll have that to look at, everyone will have that to look at, and you'll be reminded of that. Okay. So did we cover some really cool, helpful, important stuff today?
Yes, this is great.
Excellent. Excellent. I very often like to close with a story. And I'm curious, did I know you've heard this before. Have I shared the story of Arnel Pineda?
This yeah. Group? Oh, yeah.
I said I knew you first.
Who? What?
Singer.
The
singer.
Yeah.
From what?
Yeah, the Philippines, right?
Yes. Yes. Cool. So that's a broad stroke, but don't say any more because I want to deliver the power of this. So, yes, Arnel Pineda grew up in the Philippines. And you know, I've been there several times. And it's a great place, and there is a lot of poverty, as we've heard. There really is a lot of poverty there. And Arnel grew up in Metro Manila, and his family was in the thick of it, just struggling, poor. He had, I think, 3 siblings, and his mother became sick, and he lost his mother when I think he was 13. And his father tried, but he just couldn't support the family. He couldn't keep it together. So his 3 siblings went to stay with a family member, an aunt or an uncle, but there was no space for him. They couldn't take him on. So Arnel essentially became homeless. And as we know, in the Philippines, they don't have the welfare and the public support that we do here. He was selling scraps in garbage yards. He was trying to sell newspapers just to eat. He would sometimes be able to sleep on friends' couches outdoors, not even indoors, to try to get by. He was really at the bottom. But the one attribute he had, or the one saving grace he had going for him, is he had a beautiful voice. Mm. And he would open up his mouth, and people would just melt. I mean, he really was just beautiful to listen to. And he had played in bands and performed for a while, and then attempted to make a really serious go at it, and toured, and you know, played the bands and played the bars in the Philippines and whatnot. But that's also a very different market. It's tough. Even if you make it there, it's still tough to really support yourself. And then at one point, he lost his voice. So imagine this being the one attribute you can hold on to survive, and then you lose your voice temporarily. I mean, it was really intense. He eventually got it back, and he gave it his best as a performer, but it just seemed at a certain point that it just wasn't going to happen. But interesting and kind of relevant to the mastermind principle, he had people around him who believed in him and supported him. And they said, Arnel, if people could only hear your voice, oh my God, you could change the world. And he performed in the Hard Rock Cafe in Metro Manila that I've actually been to. I've been to that cafe. Okay? And he's performed faithfully by Journey. And there was a small group of people there. It was just like a smattering of applause after the show, and he didn't seem to think much of it. But his friend took that video and posted it. They recorded it, and he posted it on YouTube. Okay? Well, it just so happened that it got onto the screen of a gentleman named Neil Sean. Okay, who happened to be the guitarist and lyricist for a band called Journey. Mm-hmm. And they were just about to launch a reunion tour. Wait for it. And they were looking for a new frontman. As soon as he saw that video, he said, that's the guy. And they flew him over to the States. At first, his audition did not go well. He struggled, he was nervous, his voice was tight. It didn't happen. But the second day, he hit his stride, and he blew everyone out of the water. And then Arnel Pineda became the front man for Journey, one of the top grossing rock bands in history. And he's like 5'1", this 5'2", this little tiny man from the Philippines, became a multimillionaire, a national hero, and he has inspired so many people. So I want you to consider, first of all, how you can get help from the people around you. But I also want to put this into perspective. If you could come back from selling garbage in the scrapyard to survive in a third world country with no seeming chance of hope to become an international celebrity and a multimillionaire, what obstacle are you dealing with right now that you can't get past? What is it you can't take on to get to wherever it is you want to be? And by the way, they made a movie about Arnel called Don't Stop Believing, Every Man's Journey. And I'm telling you, it will put a tear... I was choked up.
Is that
up.
On Netflix?
Yes.
I'll watch it.
I'm going to watch
it. Don't Stop Believing?
Yes. It is so inspiring.
I know that song. I'm going to remember it.
Okay.
Everyone knows that song.
Yeah. So take that with you. And as far as the scheduling, I believe we're going to look at Thursdays, if that works for everyone, because I believe it works for Jason better. I will send an email out to confirm the dates on that. I appreciate one thing I've gotten from the beginning with everyone is just a no problem attitude, which is done. Let's make it work. So I appreciate that, but I will confirm the dates on that and we'll lock on.
Great.
Does anyone have anything you want to say to be complete? Or I'm not looking for anything, but just want to check in. Are we all committed to doing this exercise? Not just saying yes,
yeah,
but putting in the time to work on it, and we will follow up on that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm sorry, I'm going to run out trying to make a train at 9:09.
That's okay. And with that suntan, you get a pass. That works. And we're wrapping up now anyway, so.
This is great.
Yeah,
Thursday,
11
a.m.
Awesome. Thursday, 11 a.m. to 2 is open for me.
Okay. Great.
Good work, guys.
Yes.
Awesome.
Nice.
Awesome. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you. Yeah, nice meeting you, Josh.
Great.
Thank you.
Yes.